They Might Be Giants are set up in our World Cafe studio today. We'll talk with the two Johns who have been the constant in this indie rock band since they began in the early 80s, John Flansburgh and John Linnell. Often seen as purveyors of indie rock novelties, the new album The Els has a wide variety of songs. And then there is their kids' music career and many TV theme songs. We'll talk about all that after this performance of The Mesopotamians.
We've been driving around from one end of this town to the other and back, but no one's ever seen us driving our Econoline van, and no one's ever heard of our band. We're the Mesopotamians. Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, and Gilgamesh. Scratch it all down into the clay. I believe in there will sometime come a day someone gives a damn. Maybe when the concrete has crumbled to sand, where the Mesopotamians, Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, and Gilgamesh. The Mesopotamian sun is beating down, making cracks in the ground, but there's nowhere else to stand. In Mesopotamia, the kingdom where we secretly reign, the land that we invisibly rule as the Mesopotamians, Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, and Gilgamesh. This is my last stick. Mesopotamian, Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, and Gilgamesh. We're the Mesopotamians, Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, and Gilgamesh. Hey man, I thought that you were dead. I thought you crashed your car.
Music from The Els, which is the new album from They Might Be Giants, and it seems like ages since John Linnell and John Flansburgh and company have joined us on the cafe. It hasn't been that long, but a lot has been going on in their lives, and including this new album. Welcome. Good to see you all.
Thanks.
Thanks. Great to be back.
And do you feel like now you're recapturing your career as a non-children's act?
Well, this was definitely an adult record. I mean, I think we never made an adult record, you know, on the heels of a lot of children's stuff before. So it very much defined the fact that we in the past we've done stuff that was just the stuff we do. And
right.
Now suddenly, all of a sudden, this is like distinct from kids' music. But I mean, and you know, it's essentially just a They Might Be Giants album.
And it's a fabulous sounding one. And I don't know where credit goes to the Dust Brothers or to
we try and grab all the credit that we can.
Yeah. The good sound was our idea.
Yeah.
But it's also interesting when you look at your career, because you guys have been here. We've talked about almost everything you've done. We've talked about the songs on the answering machine. Of course, you had the movie. I want to know what's next, because you've guys done whatever is next before. And
hair care.
Well, I hope it's not ringtones. That's
yeah.
I mean, not that we haven't done ringtones, but
right.
It seems like in the music industry today, the stock answer is ringtones will save the day.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But you've managed to spread your career out in a way that whatever you guys do as a band, as a five-piece band going out touring or whatever, supporting yourself, you've got all these other things that you can kind of support yourself.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a little bit confusing. I think when we started doing kid stuff, we kind of recognized that we would be kind of having a parallel career. The television stuff that we do, even though it gets a lot of notice, it doesn't really seem to cross into people's like live perception of the band. I mean, we did the theme for The Daily Show and the thing for Malcolm in the Middle, and we still like rarely do those songs in the show. So, and nobody's like going like, "What's up with that?" You know, it's like I guess those are essentially more faceless things culturally.
Well, I am probably the last person in the world. I didn't realize that was your song on The Daily Show. But when I hear Mesopotamia from the new album, I think, that sounds like a bid to get on The Daily Show because they have the
The
Mesopotamia.
Right. Yeah. No, we actually we did like a whole elaborate sound package that they've been using for. We've done multiple packages for them, not just the rock theme at the beginning, which was actually written by Bob Mould from Husker Du. But all the orchestral stuff and
all the walk-on music.
Yeah.
When the guests show up, that's us playing them on.
And the at the very end of the show, there's always this big trombone moment, and that's our trombone player, Dan Levine, we're basically just like vamping on the theme, and he was just, you know, blowing his brains out. And it's always really, you know, fun watching the show and see, you know, I always think of Dan having his spotlight moment.
And not having to be there while the music plays, too, every night.
Yeah.
There are those who get...
It's a great thing about doing TV stuff.
Yeah. Indeed.
You're at home.
Those long envelopes.
The new album is the... exactly. It's The Else, and what's next from the new one?
This is another track from The Else that we're going to play live, and it's called Upside Down. I've got to get my key here. Okay.
You say you got some very excellent news. You say I'm going to die when you tell me. And in my way I will. But though your words will kill, I know you'll think that I don't seem to care. It's just because my frown is upside down. It's upside down, my frown is upside down. I'm happy at your happiness as well. Your anger makes me mad, but you can't tell. Believe me when I say I'm with you in my private way, and though you think I'm trying to blow you off, upside down, it's upside down. My frown is upside down. My frown's upside down. You probably like to give me a smack, but there's something about my face that always keeps you coming back. When I'm with you, the landscape goes all weird. White and the rainbow has a beard. Are your eyes playing tricks, or should you get your glasses fixed? Well, I don't think your eyesight is to blame. The problem is my frown is upside down. It's upside down. My frown is upside down.
More from the Elsas. They Might Be Giants are playing live for us today. And there was an interesting discourse about They Might Be Giants about this album on Pitchfork, which I was interested in because they kind of said that they see you as coming out of punk, that you were originally a punk band.
Uh-huh.
And they want you to... They want you to embrace that heritage. I was wondering how you felt about that.
Well, I think that, you know, we had a really weird experience when we were starting out, which was we came to New York in 1981, and there was a cloud of punk dust where punk had just left. Yeah,
we arrived. We were looking for the punk, but the punk had left the building.
Yeah.
It was literally like the month we got there. I think many of the venerable sort of outlets for the punk rock music.
Yeah, we got a booking at the Mud Club, and we got booked, and then the Mud Club closed right before the date that we were supposed to perform there. So it was really like the whole shop had folded up.
Now, John, you and John had, before you descended into the punk dust, had you guys written together and worked together before you got to the city, or how did that work?
Actually, we did do some goofing around. Neither one of us was like completely focused on songwriting we liked tape recording, I guess, in the beginning. So we did some stuff in Boston together that was just like, you know, really just doing recordings, not thinking so much of songs as just trying to have fun making recordings. And then when we got to New York, I think by that time we'd been playing in other bands, and we both started experimenting with songwriting and thinking more in terms of songwriting. So that was sort of when we started, more or less, was 1981, I guess, when we got to New York City.
It's interesting that you mentioned sound, because all the recordings have they're very interesting ways to approach recording and sound, and that was always been an interest from way back.
Yeah, I think in many ways we're obsessed with sound, to be perfectly honest. And
sound.
And you know, I mean, which is a good thing for a musician to be interested in, although it's certainly not the only thing. But I guess, you know, if we were a more traditional band, getting back to the punk dust, you know, there would be ways to kind of signify some, you know, sort of codified idea of the band. And that might be really critically satisfying. And it might even be really satisfying for our audiences but I think for us, it would really kind of be the end of it. I mean, I think essentially, There's something, you know, at the core of what we're doing is there's something essentially it's experimental for us, and there's a huge amount of casting about going on, and it's not always, you know, successful, but it really wouldn't be successful if it wasn't unpredictable. So
does this kind of experimentation,
that's what I have to say to the punk people.
I love that. In terms of this experimental nature of the band, does that kind of, I'm wondering if it puts a distance between the emotions of your songs? Because I listen to songs on this, and there's some things that are...
Oh, we shut out the emotion completely.
I know you're being ironic, but there is a distance, definitely, in what you
do. No, I mean, I'm not. I mean, we're not first-person singular songwriters in the... And if we are, we would probably... I mean, when we have been... It's been coded enough to give us like personal cover, you know. I think, you know, there's definitely different schools of songwriting, and I think a lot of our songs are dealing with sort of an unreliable narrator concept. So they appear to be first person singular, but actually the person talking is not really representing us. And
we don't find ourselves really that compelling as people, and so we're not really writing from the perspective of our personal biographies. You know, yeah. I think that would be a kind of a bad fate for us. If we were forced to write songs about our own lives, we would probably give up songwriting.
Yeah, they might be giants or our guests. Now, okay, 12th album.
That difficult 12th album.
Well, you do that, and you do everything else you do. When you set up a set list for a show, are there songs that have to be in every show? Or are there songs?
Well, I think if you ask somebody in the front row, they would definitely say yes. But, you know, if you asked the sound man, they would inform you that it would be no. Yeah, we do a pretty long show, so we and our songs are really short, so... We can pull out a lot of like older songs and try to keep it sort of zesty for everybody, including ourselves. But, well, you know, I mean, there is this I'm just thinking about, you know, just the way we're presenting ourselves as a band. And there is this aspect of like, you know, the way bands say like, oh, we just do our own thing and we don't care what people think or what audiences think. I think the sort of the contrary motion about like the band that we're in, that actually is a really active part of our situation, is that we actually really care about the entertainment value of our show and really care about the theater of our show in a way that is almost, I mean, it's that and like Supreme Court justices are like the only topics on our tour. Like, we're always talking about how to improve the show in this very ongoing way. And when people say like, oh God, you guys have been a band for like 25 years, and it's like, we have been, you know, kind of obsessed with this band for 25 years, and it's made it go, the 25 years go by very, very quickly and very, you know, cheerfully. Because
I think you're selling the tour bus short, though, John.
There's the debates about IQ testing.
There's how much you should tip.
We had a whole day discussing how much you should tip, like, in every situation. Right. Delivery people, this came from the guys in the band. Evidently, if a delivery guy comes to your door with anywhere between $30 to $100 worth of delivery food, you should tip him $5, which is enough to, like, you know, as a gratuity, but you don't need to tip on the actual, like he's a waiter.
On the amount. But that was controversial, as I recall.
Right.
These are all ongoing debates in the band, and yeah, we'd be spending the entire hour with you talking about it.
But, you know, but on that topic, since it is a new year, it's 2008, I do want to pull out this is known as the list. This is Marty Beller's, our drummer's list of words that he would like there to be a
moratorium,
a UN cultural boycott of. And so feel free to discuss at home as we read down the list. These are expressions that should no longer be said. 100%. No worries, all good, old school, too much information, phone tag, jumping the shark, talk to the hand, don't go there, my bad, this is the way we roll, word, impactful, issue, and the final one is needless abbreviations.
I think we can get an amen on almost all those.
All right.
So yeah.
It's got to start somewhere. I think it should start in the World Cafe.
Well,
1,000%.
Oh, it wasn't 110%.
You said 100.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, I thought it was 110%.
I think, you know, any of those.
Any of those.
Except
sports
for 100%. 100% is acceptable.
When are those sports guys going to actually start saying stuff that means something?
Well, the place I was going with this brief discussion was that whenever you guys come here...
David, we're out of time.
That whenever you guys come here, you're kind of concentrating on whatever the new thing is. But maybe you could throw in something old.
Oh, it'd be our pleasure.
Absolutely. Shall we play a song from the past called Dr. Worm?
We shall.
Okay.
Dr. Worm from They Might Be Giants, John Linnell bringing out the accordion on that one. John Flansburgh, of course, on the other vocals and guitars. Marty Beller on lists and drums, and Dan Miller on piano on that, also playing guitar. And Danny Weinkauf is on the bass as They Might Be Giants join us today. And we would be remiss if you guys didn't do anything from any of the kids' albums, because I remember, and I'm sure you got this a lot, and it wasn't like it was our idea, but I remember early on, because we have a kid show here at our station, saying, God, you guys should do a kids' album. And how did you decide on how to theme your kids' album?
Well, at first, you know, we were approached by the kind people at Rounder to do it, and then the second you take on an assignment like that, everybody starts telling you what to do.
Yeah.
And we got super defensive, and it was I mean, we're used to people telling us what to do, but not at that velocity, and not with that amount of assurance. We basically just made everybody leave us alone. We just did this thing in kind of a psychedelic way, and the first children's album is really kind of different than the stuff we've done since, because it wasn't designed with any age group in mind, which is sort of a marketing catastrophe, because like little kids will just, you know, glaze over on the more complicated stuff. I mean, they'll catch the energy of it, but it doesn't really necessarily speak to them. And since then, we've kind of like we kind of got into our natural niche market of, you know, 2.5 to 3.5 year olds.
Was that some of the stuff that people were trying to tell you the first time, or did you have to learn
that? It was like more like that, you know, thing in The Graduate where the guy goes plastics. You know, I mean, it felt they probably were right, but
well, I don't know. I mean, we ran into trouble right away. It's the thing, like, we hadn't had a successful children's record ever, and we were in the middle of making one. And our manager told somebody that we were going to be calling the record No. And I think this was somebody at Rounder, and they said, "Isn't that kind of negative?" and Jay was like, "Well, so you think maybe it should be called Yes?" And they're like, "Yeah, well, that might be a better title for it."
They Might Be Giants are playing live for us today, and we have time for one more. So, what do you?
Sure.
You want to finish up with?
This next song is called "Damn Good Times."
So all of you ops better step aside. When my friend got amnesia, she can't remember the show she saw, like the one with the guy with amnesia who got off of the island on a helicopter. I know a girl who's a natural dancer with a cape and a hat. She's a natural dancer. She calls and she laughs and she makes a lot of calls, and all of the people are caught as she leaves the store.
They Might Be Giants being overtaken briefly by Focus there on the cafe.
Mm, yes.
Wow. That's a great ending. Thank you guys, as always, for being here with us.
Hey, it was a gas.
It's always a pleasure, David. Thanks for having us again.
They Might Be Giants, and we shall return in a moment here on the World Cafe.